look like this and not like this, and we play always in the same space back. So it's a little bit of tennis. So Tottenham were got the same problem, not all, about the whole time, but they had the same problem, so it was a little bit wild. But yeah, better wild start than a boring start.
Given away by Jackie Elka to Manchester United, turning the defence into attack, and this is Wayne Rooney! He answers his critics again!
Hello and welcome to Where Is The Shout? I'm Mark Carlow.
I'm Zachary Stevenson. And I'm sober.
For once.
Robert Runciman.
This week we're going to be talking the weekend's football. Also talk about the rumours that David Moyes might be going to Aston Villa. Also the FIFA scandal that seems to be dragging on. And also the FAI Cup final is that I am to talk about.
I know, I'm still a bit curious.
I is the hint, the Irish FA Cup final.
Yeah, but yeah, starting off then, how are you both? You
alright? I'm very good, thank you.
This is the first time we've done this in like regularly now. Like we're trying to do it like a regular day now, don't we? Sunday morning recording.
Nice and fresh.
I'm afraid next time there's going to have to be me via Skype because I'll be in Ireland.
You're always on holiday.
Bragging as well about your little trips around the world. You
know, around the world.
We've already mentioned this already.
I mean,
from
Ireland.
You're dying to talk about this, aren't you?
Going back there is not quite as ridiculous as...
Should we talk about this first then? Because let's just get it out of the way. You're going to a cup final game.
Yeah, it's the Irish. The Irish season runs through the summer, as opposed to normal seasons.
Mm.
And the FAI Cup final, which is the Football Association of Ireland Cup final, is next. Well, the November the 8th.
All right.
It's Dundalk against Cork City, who are the top two in the league. And I'm actually going to the league match next Friday because I'm going to Cork first and going to Dublin.
The dress rehearsal of the final.
Sort of, yeah, yeah. Although I think a lot of them might not want to show their hands, so it might be a strange one. Rest players and stuff, you know.
Where is it held then, this
it's
final?
It's Lansdowne Road, or the Aviva Stadium, as they call it. call St James's Park the Sports Direct Arena. I'll never call Lansdowne Road the Aviva Stadium. So.
I've never been to Ireland. I'm not, so
I haven't actually.
We should all go for the match, lads. It's only £30 for the flight, and the tickets are a tenner.
£10 is it final? Yeah. Can't say fairer than that.
Who's Cork City's star player to look out for?
Well, we've got Liam Miller and Colin Healy.
Oh, yeah, I remember them too. So
they're two, former top league players.
Yeah, Liam Miller was United, wasn't he?
He started Celtic and went to United. Yeah. Healy started at Celtic.
How old is he now then?
He's like 33, 34.
The year's gone.
I know. I remember when United got him from Celtic and I was like really happy. I thought, oh, this guy's going to be good.
He's supposed to be the new Roy Keane.
He was supposed to be new, but he was a different type of player, really. He was more attacking.
More like the new Remy Moses.
He wasn't as violent as Roy Keane.
He wasn't as violent, but it's hard to be as violent as Roy Keane, really.
Yeah, it is. It's quite
unless
hard.
You're a cage fighter.
It's a bit funny.
Yeah, it should be a good one. I mean, Dundalk are probably the best Irish team for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
How good are they, Zach?
I reckon they probably they could maybe finish mid table in the championship.
Oh come on.
Honestly, yeah, I think they could.
Really?
I think if they were playing that football
some players to be bought for like £50,000 then.
I know, but it's just it goes back to that thing about Irish players aren't fashionable. I honestly believe that's part of the reason, but
They're not Belgian.
A lot of great players have come out of Ireland for £50,000. I mean, Roy Keane, I think he was from Cork City.
£20,000, well, Cork Rounders.
Talking about Ireland, you've.
Do you know the story about Roy Keane not joining Cork City?
No, go on.
I'll refresh his memory. But basically, back in those days, it was a case of whoever registered the player first would get the player. So Cork City, to save on stamps, they held on to his registration for a couple of days. And said they sent it in one envelope, and by that time, Cove Rounders had already sent his registration, so they got him instead.
Amazing.
That's brilliant.
£20,000 to Forrest, and then the rest, you know.
Yeah. The rest is history, mate.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
Beating someone up as we speak, probably.
He's the assistant
probably
manager.
Probably smashing up a neighbour.
Grooming his beard before Sunday lunch.
He might be at the match. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's been a bit of a weird weekend of football, because obviously yesterday was Saturday's fixtures, and this is the first time I think we've ever all three of us been together and all happy with the results for our
ties. Yeah.
Good weekend for Man United, good weekend for West Ham.
I think it's the first time that I can remember for quite a while where all the big teams played on the Saturday as well.
Yeah, because it's made that today's Super Sunday, super.
Yeah, so
Newcastle Norwich.
Wow.
The
Super Sunday game.
Watching the rugby today.
Yeah, indeed. I think we've got to touch on first of all Man United's result.
Yeah.
that is a really big result for them, I think. I think that's a big, you know, signing, statement of intent, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was just saying to Zach beforehand that it reminded me, watching the highlights last night, reminded me of the old United, the away from home under Ferguson. You know, just the way they were counter-attacking at speed that we haven't seen a lot from them.
Mm.
I mean, sitting back a lot, haven't they, and been solid so far, but they really blew them away.
There was a fluidity to the side that hasn't been seen that much last season. I've seen signs of it this season. Obviously, the defeat at Arsenal has kind of reassessed people's opinion of United, but I think that was a bit of a freak result. I mean, I know Arsenal fans will dispute that, but it's the way it happened, the two goals so early, and then
I think it just knocks you off six, didn't it?
It was good that they came back with a win and a performance that was, you know, kind of justifies
it. Against a very good side, Everton, and Everton been playing well, haven't
they? I mean, you put it down that you would win last week in the predictions, you felt you might have got a result, but me and Rob...
I didn't think 3-0, to be honest.
No, I thought they'd get turned over. Mm. Really big, because they have, like Zach said, they've struggled there over the years. Lukaku always seems to get on top of them.
They're a team, Everton, that always seems to smash the big boys at their own ground. A hard place to go.
How good was Rooney last night? Just watching those highlights.
Yeah, he looks on form.
Rooney was great, but I think another thing which has to be said again is Anthony Martial. He didn't score, but Alan Shearer was pointing out match of the day. His work rate is just phenomenal. He's tracking back with Coleman every time you go back with him.
Did a real job in him, didn't he?
You can't imagine Memphis doing that, you know. It's just, and subsequently he was on the bench, and I'm a bit unsure about Memphis, to be honest, but Martial is the real deal.
He's the new Welbeck.
Well,
at last, we have one.
I think he's a little bit better than Danny Welbeck.
Yeah,
I was very, very pleased.
Yeah, I bet you are.
It was nice to see Schneiderlin score his first goal, even though he's not really in there to score goals, but, you know.
I think there's still an element.
Every midfielder should score goals from time to time. I think that's a given, really.
I still think, though, there's work to be done at United. There's something still slightly missing. It's as if there's not a consistency about it. I don't know what it is. They don't look like they're going to win the league this year. They look like they're going to go for it, but I don't, but
they're improving.
They are getting better.
Slowly.
They are getting better. Where they're going to be in a year or two?
The big thing for me, for United and the situation right now, is that when Ferguson left, there was so much deadwood in that squad, and they it's a miracle they won the league, but there had to be a big overhaul, and it did cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I think they're in a fairly healthy position at the moment, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed with that. Also, another big result was Arsenal going to Watford and winning. I mean, I think there was quite, you know, to be fair, I think everyone expected them to go there and win, but again, it's the manner in which they won.
Yeah. They struggled for a while in yesterday's game. Watford didn't really make any chances, but they sort of held their own for a long time.
And that Peter Cech incident as well, where he came out and I think he kind of handled the ball.
I believe so. And his boot was high as well, very high.
His boot was high, and he, you know, another day he could have got a red card for that, and it might have been a different story. You know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
But they did look. I mean, I think going forward, Arsenal, when they have the belief, they look like they could score a few goals against any team. You know.
Yeah, indeed.
And Sanchez has just been absolutely on fire recently.
Yeah.
You know, when he's on fire, and you got Ozil making chance after chance, he has been recently. I mean, he's
the
just
thing
an
about
assist machine, isn't he?
Will Sanchez keep that form up all season?
Well, no one can do that.
Yeah.
So someone else has to chip in.
That's the thing. We don't really
Walcott
have
needs to.
Yeah, Walcott.
Walcott, yeah, he's flat as to deceive me a little bit,
to be honest.
One minute he looks amazing.
Well,
he
went through a run
that
he scored in 10 consecutive league games, didn't he? I mean,
that's right, he did, yeah.
You know, so he'll
misses like really simple chances where this is going to cost him. Mm. Like Ramsey putting the ball yesterday, it's on a plate in the air.
Yeah.
A proper centre forward just would have buried that. Like Drew would have buried it.
Mm.
And he just sort of like harmlessly headed it back to the goalkeeper. And I thought, Walcott's a good player, but the only way he's really going to score a lot of goals is just breaking past the offside trap. So you defend deep against him, you nullify him.
Yeah.
All right, you let them play in midfield then, but I think there's a lot more to Giroud's game. I think he's still their number one striker.
Yeah, and he's a business Giroud. There's no choice about it.
Walcott's a winger. He's a winger.
I think the thing about Walcott, Rob says that he's a winger, because whenever he plays the winger, I think his crossing is pretty crap.
Yeah.
You know, so if you stick him in the
wing,
so
he's crossing his shit. He's, you know, he's shooting his wang.
I think he just needs more chances than your average striker to score, but he gets into more situations. I mean, I think if you played him as centre forward every game, I think he'd score 20 goals.
I think he could be a centre forward, but is he a centre forward for Arsenal where they want to go? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, if he was at West Ham or somewhere like that, and you think, yeah, great, have him up front, but I don't know, for them, I think they missed too many chances. I think he's a good player, not writing him off.
Yeah.
He's very useful for England you know, in certain games, but I don't know, I've got my doubts whether, like you say, if Sanchez doesn't continue his form, I think I'm not sure if they've got the other players to score the goals for them enough goals.
Well, it'd be another case of that, you know, they're lacking something again in the title race. I don't think they'll win the league.
They're lacking
top
centre forward, top defensive midfielder, and probably a centre back. We've spoken about this before. That's, if they come close to winning the title, they will look at those three positions and think, if we maybe signed one or two, we might have won it. I might be wrong. They could win it. They might.
Referring for a second time to Alan Shearer on Match of the Day last night, and something I disagree with him about. He said that, you know, could help Arsenal's going out of the Champions League, because I really don't think it makes that much difference. They only ever usually get to the last 16 anyway. That's two more games.
And
if you look at the sides that win the Champions League every year, they're there or thereabouts of the league as well. I think one goes with the other a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You talk about the strain of players playing extra games, but your spirit is emboldened by
totally
success.
Agree.
You know?
Yeah, you want to be involved in all
adrenaline
the competitions.
Adrenaline is a massive thing. Well, I overlook this.
Momentum,
when you're on a winning run, momentum, adrenaline. Look at when United won the treble, it just continued, game after game after game.
Nobody complained about fatigue then, did they?
No.
You know?
And they put the same side out every week. They might rotate the strikers a little bit, didn't they?
Everyone
else is playing every week. Beckham, Giggs, Kane.
And let's be honest, they wanted to play every day.
People say, oh, well, that was 16 years ago, but they did it again in 2008. You know, they won the league and the Champions League. And Barcelona, Real Madrid do it every year. I don't think going out of Europe is beneficial at all.
Arsenal go and beat Bayern Munich on Tuesday or Wednesday night, that'd be fantastic for them. They'll go into Sunday's game feeling great about themselves.
Shearer,
you're talking bollocks.
He does, doesn't he? I mean, touching on that, Alan Shearer and Kevin Kilbane. I mean, how boring is that?
I know.
Kevin Kilbane is best when he's doing karaoke. That's probably the tagline for this show.
I was watching it, my dad was watching it with me last night for the first time in years, and he hadn't seriously been years since he watched Match of the Day properly. And you couldn't believe how boring them two were. It's just absolutely hideous.
Didn't have no one else available.
Where's Roy Hullett this week?
Yeah, where's Keane? I'll get him on there.
Sky do have the best got ones, don't they? I mean, at least Henri and Carragher.
I like Gary Neville. I think he's made himself
He's
very, very, his knowledge of the game is quite unbelievable, really.
Have Jamie Redknapp.
And his grey suit that he seems to wear.
Be the most important game they've ever had. I think the biggest game in the history, you know.
Another result from yesterday then. Chelsea back to winning ways.
Yeah,
finally.
But I think they were very lucky. I mean, there were two defensive mistakes, really. They still didn't look fluid. They didn't look terrorising a poor Aston Villa side, I think.
I don't think you can expect Chelsea to look fluid at the moment.
No.
He dropped Hazard, didn't he, yesterday?
It's a big statement, that.
He dropped Ivanovic, though, as well.
I didn't know that.
Finally.
You suggested there was Azpilicueta right back and Baba at left back. So we bit the bullet with that one.
Well, I mean, they're back to winning 2-0. I mean, playing this against a side, though, that I'll talk about later, but I think they're destined for the drop this season.
I think it's the only result that any of us predicted right. It's the only one you could predict, really, because Villa can't score a goal.
They're gone, aren't they?
Looked quite good, but I think he's a championship player.
Yeah, he's brilliant in the air, but what else have you got?
I think the result was the most important thing for Chelsea, really. The manner of the performance was secondary. They just need to get 3 points to get themselves up the table a bit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're only at 11th now. But, I mean, they've had a disastrous start. And as you say, I don't think it wasn't very convincing. They didn't tear Villa's apart. There's still a lot of trouble problems.
I mean, Guzan's clearance there was just farcical.
Lescott's touch.
It was going. That was a real comedy.
What was Lescott supposed to do? You know, take
both
goals and going a big run.
Well, no, I think it was such a bad pass to him. He should have just put it into Rose Edge.
And let's be honest, their second goal as well. I mean, that was lucky. I mean, it wasn't even a shot.
Aston Villa, they can't score a goal for Toffee. I mean, they're making mistakes like that at the back. I think Sherwood now is really close to the chop, because you can't see how they're going to turn that around, that group of players or him at the moment.
Poor old Tim.
They really are that bad. They're terrible. Absolutely shocking. When he had his interview afterwards, he just looked like a man that's trying to convince himself.
He looks like a man that's coming out of excuses already. Yeah. He's already come out and said that the problem is that he's got too many new players and they've got to take time for gel. He's full of it, isn't he?
He's just sort of saying, I won't shirk. My players want to look at me standing in the corner. Yeah, they want to take a good look at me. and be inspired by me because I won't shirk. And
but there is I know what you mean, but there is an element of truth to that as well. I mean, the players ultimately are the ones on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's only so much you can do.
These aren't, I mean, these are guys who've supposedly got a proven pedigree in a Premier League level and they're not performing.
Yes.
I mean, it was just awful. They're just a really poor team.
I think they'd be lucky to stay up.
This is their worst side. They've been getting worse over the years.
As I said to you last week, I think they've been flirting with relegation for a good about 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Never really looked that convincing.
You know, in a weird way, it might be the best thing that ever happened to them. They go down, they look at the parachute payments.
Yeah.
They have a season where they're winning every
week.
You know, which we'll get the confidence going. They can come up emboldened by that. I've used the word emboldened twice now today. I shouldn't have done that, but
emboldened, yeah.
But you know, sometimes it can be good, and then they can come up with a bit of momentum again. I've used momentum again twice.
Yeah,
we used to say that in the old days, but it's so, you know, you could sort of rebuild and come back and take your time over it. Mm. But these days, you've got to come straight back because of the money involved.
I know, but a club like Villa are so big that in the Championship, they'll attract any top player. Yeah. It's not like an Norwich or a QPR going down so much. It's, you know, they're a huge club, really.
It happened to us, at West Ham, and we went down a few years ago, and sometimes it's needed, you know. I mean, I know we'd only been relegated, I think, about 5 years prior to that, but still, sometimes I do feel like you need a bit of a clear out. Just get rid of those players that are just there for the money. They're not putting their weight. And another thing is, you get young players that will come to the club, like someone like Villa in the Championship, and see it as a big opportunity to go in the Premier League, be hungry and want to win.
Anyway, they're not down yet. Last year, Leicester, we thought would gone
off 6 weeks.
I think what I'm saying really about the relegation thing is that if they get relegated and then the following season they get back into the winning mentality, you know, because they're going to be winning more often than not. And it could work, but I'm not saying they should intentionally get relegated, but I think it kind of looked like they're nailed on for it, really, the way they're playing, you know.
One of the subjects we were going to talk about a bit later on, but we might as well jump onto now then, is David Moyes to Villa, because that seems to be a rumour now that's picking up a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how true it is. I'm a bit confused as to why he'd want to go there. But
that's the key, the question, isn't it? So why would anyone want to go to a place where it's a poison chalice? It's like you are in a hiding to nothing as an Aston Villa manager. You don't have the resources.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost impossible.
What is happening with him at Real Sociedad? And I haven't looked at their results.
No,
they've only started the season recently, haven't they? They're not as far into the season as we are, so...
But I thought he was doing a good job out there, though. I thought he was enjoying his work. I'm confused why...
Should we have a look? You guys chat away.
We'll chat away.
The league table.
You check it out. But I'm confused as to why he'd want to come back to a job like that.
I don't think Villa would be the one for him, because his reputation over here is not... Well, I mean, he's got a good reputation, but it was
Man United was a bad move for him, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
It went so badly there that I think the next move to England has to be one that can work for him. I think Villa at the moment...
Would you take a team that are fighting for relegation?
They don't have the players. He would have to buy about 4 or 5 players in January, and there could already be 6 or 7 points adrift by that point. I think they're that bad, watching them.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't see... There's not... I mean,
I've been saying it all summer. I think I'm still convinced. I don't think they're going to stay in this league. I thought they were really lucky to stay up last season. I think Sherwood was a bit of a chancer, really. Yeah, got away with it.
After 7 games, they're 16th.
16th.
So they're level on points of the team.
Maybe we should go to Villa then, who are 18th.
He's got 6 points from 7 games at the start of the season there.
So he's messing up Real Sociedad like he messed up Manchester United. No, I'm joking there. But,
I've an element of truth there.
But for Aston Villa, he would be a very good signing as a manager.
He'd do a good job there.
He'd stabilise them, but it's about goals as well. You can get your defence right. If you're blowing up front...
Yeah. And have they got a lot of money to spend? They don't look like they do.
They should have with the players they sold.
But I don't know where this money seems to be going, but they're not investing it very well.
Well, you've got a few in, Sherwood, or whoever gets the players in there. They spent a little bit at IU up front.
But I think he was on a free, I think it's...
I just think they're doomed, and that's it.
Move on.
All right then. Well, I'd like to talk about West Ham, and I think Rob will as well. I mean,
I saw the highlights yesterday, and they looked really good.
They dominated from start to finish. I know the sending off really helped us before half time.
And it's stupid sending off, wasn't it? Really,
One of the more stupid ones I've seen in recent years. It's like the second challenge. I was just saying to Rob before we started, it almost looked like he meant it, like he was intentionally.
Then he started crying.
He was devastated afterwards, but.
But why?
You, to go into a tackle like that when you're already on the yellow card, you just got a minute ago.
And also, he was going nowhere, Kyrie. You know, he was. It wasn't like he was a danger you had to throw your body in.
It was back to goal, 50, 60 yards from goal. It's like,
yeah, just leave him.
The only thing I can think of with Dwight Gale is that's his game, working his socks off, isn't it? Closing people down.
Well, he was causing us trouble.
Yeah, he's a good little player, but when you're on your yellow card, you don't make a change like that on the halfway line where.
Too frustrated. I mean, it's just
silly. Yeah, and the first challenge was pretty nasty, I thought.
Pardew was going on and on about that sending off had changed the game, ruined it, but West Ham were dominating at the start of the game anyway.
Yeah,
and then they,
I know it changed.
I thought Pardew was out of order with that, really. He's criticising Clattenburg for, I mean, he had no option. It's blatantly a yellow card.
What was he supposed to do? He said he should have had a word with him. Well, the point is, he had a booking. That is your word. You've had a word, calm yourself down. You can't have a word after you've been given a word. You know,
I mean, if he hadn't given him a yellow card, I think West Ham would have been justifiably aggrieved.
Yeah, and said, excuse me.
What's this guy doing on the pitch? He's just made two almost red card tackles.
Yeah.
There's a few points about West Ham. Obviously, it's another brilliant away performance. Mm. And can go out in a counter attack, but they've gone there without both their first choice centre halves.
Yeah,
and who are Reid and Ogbonna.
Yeah,
and Collins and Tompkins come in, no problem. So that's the first thing that we haven't had for years. We haven't had four centre halves.
So guys, why do you think that West Ham are doing so much better away from home than they are at home?
Because they've got extreme pace inside now.
I think it's just the counter attacking football. It seems to suit our football. I think taking apart from the Newcastle game at home, where they were pretty poor. We looked and we were dominated really throughout. At home, it doesn't really suit us to have to take it to the team. Sometimes, as you say, we can't really use our pace.
I think teams are going to sit back against us, play Andy Carroll, because then you can put the ball into him. If they want to defend deep against that, be my guess.
Causing
problems.
That's a good option, really.
The other thing I was going to say, with 15 minutes to go, I know against playing against 10 men, but last year, or just a few months ago under Allardyce. Again, I'll say he did a good job for West Ham. Allardyce would have taken a point there.
Oh God, yeah,
he'd put 10 men on the ball. Bilic made three substitutions. All strikers came on and threw the kitchen sink at them.
And it paid off.
Another game, it's paid off again. They scored twice in the last 4 minutes. They had like Jelovic, Carroll.
The Kevin Keegan mentality.
Let's
go for it, lads. You know.
Yeah, but, and why not? You know, it's exciting to watch as well. Good for the fans.
I thought that they've been going a bit over the top with it. A few weeks ago, I thought that they should be playing Obiang, so Lanzini have a bit more solidity in the middle.
But
they've been playing, you know, the three boys behind the front man, just gone for it against everyone. Fantastic. It's great to watch. That is the West Ham way.
Yeah.
Win or lose, you want to see goals and attacking football. They've scored 20 goals in 9 games.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Yeah, it's good. Really good start to the season. I'm delighted.
You're looking at 80 goals a season there.
I don't think it can carry on that sort of ratio, but it'd be a good spot.
We can get ourselves safe. If we can get to Christmas by, you know, 30 points, I'll be, you know, then the rest of the season's a joy, isn't it? You haven't got a worry or panic on it, hopefully.
Unless it's like last year.
Yeah, indeed. Another game yesterday, West Bromwich Albion beat Sunderland, and that was Sam Allardyce's.
Yeah. There was a bit, you know, I'm a bit disappointed because I think the goal should have been disallowed, actually.
I would have got
my 0-0 as well. So.
That's a good point.
First of all, he's kind of barged into the keeper. I mean, the keeper's got sort of hands on the ball, and then he's been pushed back by. He goes down, and then he gets two hands on the ball as well. He hasn't got full control of it, but he's got his two hands around. I don't think you can kick the ball when the guy's got two hands on the ball. Really.
I'd have to watch it again, but I just felt he didn't have control of the ball. But yeah. I mean, if he did have two hands laid right on it.
He had two hands on top of the ball. I mean, maybe he hadn't fully grasped it yet.
Fair play to Berahino. He's a little midget, isn't he? Actually, he's not that small. I think he's about 6 foot. It's just that...
He's about 5'6", I think. Is he? He's not tall. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just that Pantilimon's an absolute giant, isn't he?
6'8", yeah.
He's about 9 foot.
Tallest player in the Premier League, isn't he?
But he's done well there, Berahino. That's what he should do, just back in to make it difficult.
Yeah, the referee doesn't blow the whistle, then go for it.
He hasn't done anything.
You don't see that enough these days, where people don't sort of put pressure under the keeper.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's one of those things that they don't seem to see anymore, do you? Like, every time you seem to go near the goalkeeper, it's a foul.
Yeah, if he wants to come through, I'm going to stick my back into him, you know?
Yeah.
I think the size thing played a part, because we think, well, look, he's 6'8", he should be able to catch the ball properly without having to worry about a 5'6" guy.
I don't think Berahino is that small, you know? I think he looks small.
Let's look it up.
Look it up. I'll get your phone out.
Our Google is getting...
I reckon Berahino is just under 6 foot, but he looks so slight that he comes across as being a little...
Saido, a little midget.
What about Allardyce then? First game.
Should we have bonus points for guessing Saido Berahino's size?
Alright, what would you say, 5'6"?
It's 5'11".
Is it? Oh, there you go. Bloody hell. Yeah.
But he looks smaller.
He does look small.
He looks like a midget.
Yeah.
I think it's because he doesn't score many bullet headers as well. Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's quick, isn't he? You think of him being like Defoe or someone.
And obviously, Salah-Allah says that was his first Premier League defeat. You know, for his first game of taking over a club, he usually always wins the game. But oh, I think he's got real trouble in his hands there.
Like I was saying last week, he'll get them right at the back, and he's got enough players to do that.
Mm.
And then they've got the likes of Fletcher and Defoe in the squad, and Barini, who should nick him a goal. So I do think that he's got someone to play with.
I think they were lucky with the schedule. If this first game had been at the stadium alight and they'd won 2-0, and you know, it might have been different. But we'll see the next game what happens.
Yeah, as long as they're not getting smashed.
Yeah, that's the thing. He needs to turn it around.
I mean, they could have justified and said, well, you know, I think he did say my players didn't do anything wrong. You know, that was a goal that shouldn't really have been given, and we could have got a creditable away draw there. So
yeah,
let's see what happens. I think Sam Allardyce will get them out of danger.
Yeah, I do.
Another manager who kicked things off yesterday was Klopp at Liverpool.
Yeah,
I watched the game. It wasn't the best. It was all right.
It was pretty uninspiring.
It wasn't the most exciting game of football in the world.
Divock Origi's header was the closest either side came to scoring.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Tottenham look poor this season. They
haven't lost since the opening day of the season.
I know, but they're not.
Strange, isn't it?
They should be losing.
They're not poor, but they are boring. They are the most boring Tottenham side I've ever seen in my life. It's just unreal. They've got the defence right. Now all of a sudden,
the only player that I'm actually quite interested to watch is Eriksen.
Eriksen is
a wonderful player. And Harry Kane is still a very good player. He will score goals.
Mm. It's strange because I think Pochettino's kind of got the combination right, but it is a bit dull. I mean, he's got a solid enough kind of midfield with Eriksen, who's the creative one, and it's Kane, who scored about 30 something goals last season. You think he's a recipe for success? It's just not quite clicking for them at the moment. But I think it could.
Yes.
I still think Spurs.
I mean,
they're
seventh in the league, I believe.
And they're hard to beat. They're a decent side.
It's not. Only
Manchester United have beaten them this season. So
there we go.
I just think I don't know. Will Spurs fans be happy with the style of football they're playing? Because they're very similar to us. They want to see attacking football.
They showed Manchester City that they can be not boring. Because I mean, they tore City apart 4-1. I mean.
I'd say they were lucky early on in that game.
They were a bit, some of the decisions went their way, but you know, 4-1 was quite comprehensive.
But they're decent. Tottenham will definitely be in the top seven.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't think they will. They could change for fourth the way things are going.
I think they just draw too many matches as well, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be the problem.
I think with Harry Kane, he will score goals, but there seems to be a lot of pressure on him because they can't bring someone else in just to give him a little break for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the thing. They're relying heavily on him, aren't they?
I don't know. I think it remains to be seen what this Clinton in G is like. I think
he's more a winger, isn't he?
Well, I think he scored quite a few goals in the Bundesliga, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he had a shot yesterday, which is really beautiful, the outside of the foot, right across the goal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good save. So he could be good. But
I'll tell you, one player I really do like is that Dele Alli.
Yeah,
the same play for MK Dons last year. He looks good.
He's got a good attitude, isn't he? Like, yeah.
Because I thought they'd struggle in midfield big time this season, and then he's come on the scene. And Eric Dier, I don't know how you pronounce it.
He's
played that holding role, didn't play yesterday, and he's played really well.
He's a good
player. I think they're both better options than Mason and Bentaleb that they had before. They've still got in the squad. So, I mean, they're decent, but they're just pretty uninspiring side if Eriksen's not on fire.
Yeah, they are. And I felt that yesterday watching the game. I found that to be the case. And even with Liverpool, though, I know he's got a lot of work to do there, Klopp, and it will take time for him to...
And Sturridge injured yet again.
That player. What is he made out of?
Is it just a knock?
I don't know. I think it is a knock.
He's the cabbage flake footballer, isn't he, again? He's got the real cabbage flake legs. It's just, how can he be injured?
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because he's a really good player, but he keeps getting injured all the time.
And why? Because I think he's by far and away England's best striker.
Yeah, but he's never going to be
a goal-scoring striker.
He's never going to last to take us to a World Cup and score goals. He's not fit enough. He's picking up knocks all the time.
They need him.
And every knock seems to take him out for a while. It's not, you know, he's out for a couple of days. The man's out for weeks.
Months, even though it's ridiculous.
I thought that Origi looked encouraging. His display stake, nearly had a goal.
I haven't seen too much of him.
He's quite lively.
Belgium, but he seems decent.
Mm.
No, I don't think he's the kind of player that's going to get into the Champions League, but, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows, squad player, you know.
Just realised that all of us are talking about two teams that will... Like detest, like me and Mark detest Spurs for obvious reasons, and you detest Liverpool.
I don't detest Liverpool. Actually, I kind of used to, but they're not much of a threat anymore, are they?
So,
To say it to Liverpool fans again.
Yeah. I think Klopp would be really happy with that point, though, to be honest.
I do. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great result. Going to White Lane and getting a point is always a good result. It's a tough place to go.
Did you see his interview afterwards? It was bizarre.
Yeah, he was going all over the place, wasn't he? He was like,
my dad just said, what the hell was that all about?
You know those things you have in the car with the head that bubbles? That's what he was a bit like.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a character, isn't he, Klopp? And I think he's bringing some colour to the Premier League as well. Yeah. So.
And he'll be given time. I mean, he'll be given.
He'll be given at least 6 months. I mean,
Get to January, and I presume results will pick up a little bit.
I don't think they'll get a top four this season. I don't quite think they're going to be there, but I think they'll be a top six side. I think they'll
be interesting to see if you can alert a couple of players in January, like Royce or something.
I absolutely positive he won't do it in January. I think it'll have to be next summer, you know. Because Marco Reus is not going to leave.
Well, Dortmund aren't in the Champions League, so he's got, you know.
Yeah, but is he going to leave for half a season, Liverpool? I think he'll just wait and finish the season off, and maybe next season.
Yeah, possibly.
That's the
type of player they need if they're going to come back.
And Reus, I saw him play for. I mean, obviously he's been around for a while now, but he was probably Germany's best creative player against Ireland on last week when we won. But he's a great player, and he'd be fitting really well at Liverpool, I think. Yeah.
It's another week, and another load of FIFA scandals seem to be just dragging on, this FIFA business, isn't it? And it's obviously going to go on now for probably at least another year.
Yeah. I think I told you guys before in a previous show that some years ago, I think 2009, I set up a group on Facebook to sack Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
And it's got like 15,000 followers. And,
I'm one of them, mate.
Blatter decided he was going to step down, I was on the verge of closing the group. And then, of course, typically he tried to cling on.
He's a genius, isn't he?
He is such a scumbag.
He's clinging on to that desk, isn't he?
So that Facebook group is still going strong. But it's just, when will the man just say, look,
die.
Whatever about anything else. Look,
I'll leave.
The dignified thing to do is to just leave. I mean, he's 17.9 as well or something.
Why do you want a job? Why would you want that sort of role at that age? He's a very wealthy man. He could walk away. He could have walked away 15 years ago.
I think he's going to become the first man to officially live forever. He's just never going to go, is he?
Yeah, he's the new Methuselah.
Oh, and Platini, FA have supported him.
Yeah.
And, you know, said they're going to back him for FIFA presidency. And now
there's this 1.35 million payment that he received at some point.
Apparently it's a gentleman's agreement.
I mean, for someone who's, you know, FIFA is not meant, was not created to be, to line the pockets of people. It was meant to be a governing body for world football and had the best interest of football. Imagine what £1 million would do to grassroots football in any country.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going into
directly into
pocket.
Your personal bank account, you know. It's not.
They're just absolutely ridden like cancer with corruption and bribery and. It's just.
Are you quite shocked with Platini? Because I'm a little bit surprised.
I think we'll need to see what happens in the end and see. I mean, obviously the money. It seems like a glaringly obvious, bogus, illegal.
I was surprised, but I was quite pleased to see it as well. I can't stand him.
I just think anyone who's involved
in English football, he hates anything about. English football.
Really, not a fan.
He really does. Oh yeah, he can't stand us.
It's gotten to the stage though. It's gotten to the stage, though, where anybody who's involved with FIFA at all, you have to suspect them of corruption. And I think somebody said recently that it could be the end of FIFA. We may need to get rid of FIFA and get a brand new world governing body.
I think they should.
If Platini or Blatter just refuses to jump and go, I think somebody's going to come along and say, all right, lads, let's just start again.
All it needs for that to happen, or something to happen, is for the English FA, the German FA, French FA, Spanish and the Italian FA, so those five FAs... Mm.
To say, we're not boycotting the World
Cup. To have a meeting, to say, look, if we pull out of FIFA, that's the end of FIFA. If you lose those five, it's done.
Yeah,
they pull out. They agree to do that, and that's it. And start the ball rolling, and then
everybody else will jump ship and join this new.
Yeah, because you're right. Because
the danger is, I think the big danger is, the big worry is that it splinters off into a couple of rival things like boxing, and then you've got two World Cups. That'd be the end of football.
International football.
International, anyway. I mean, but I think the international football is on its deathbed.
Oh,
anyway.
Don't say that. I keep saying this.
I know
to
it's.
You.
It's tragic, but
that's
I think
I live for.
One of the things
it is,
that
you love it, Rob.
This is a separate issue, but eventually clubs are going to start withholding their players and take it to court and say, look, we employ these guys, we pay them huge money, you know, you just can't have them at all. There's forget about insurance payments. The risk is too big letting our players go off to play for your country and then could possibly get injured for a year.
It's difficult though, isn't it?
I think it's going to happen.
The player
one day,
wants it, though. The players like to play international football. That's the difference. Isn't
do they though? I mean, increasingly they're retiring earlier. They're missing every friendly. They want to play in the World Cup because it gets them a bigger transfer to a bigger club and a bigger contract. I think ultimately club football will take priority, and eventually international football will die. That's my doomsday scenario theory. But.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it's a fucking hell.
I don't like saying it.
I came in here in a good mood.
International football has given me best memories in football.
Yeah, absolutely. 1990 World Cup, Zach, wasn't it?
It was glorious. It's a nostalgia that you just can't replicate. Nothing can come close to it, really. I mean, it's just joyous. But I think they've fucked it up, haven't they?
Well, the thing, because they probably do need to get another governing body in, because the name FIFA now is so tainted, even if they did, you know, rid of all the staff that are there and bring new people in, it'll always have that stigma attached, and you'll always think, is he trustworthy? What's he doing? And
the International Football Federation of Football, IFA.
IFA. IFA. We should start it. Should we start it
first, though, isn't it? I mean, Platini, though, that's just sort of, you can't trust anyone involved in UEFA or FIFA after this.
No one.
No. I mean, that this guy's played professional football.
It's such a shame, because
well,
what it stands
level.
For and what it's supposed to be doing, this organisation, and what it's done, it's such a shame.
Rob just touched on a point there, and I think that's the most discouraging thing. Blatter, we always knew, was a charlatan. He never really played football, maybe when he was a kid, I don't know, but Platini was one of the greatest players of all time, and he should know better.
Yeah.
He should keep the sanctity of what football is about.
Yeah. We all thought UEFA was, you know, the good guys, didn't we? Really?
Yeah. I mean, to say, it's not been proven yet, and if he might be found innocent, he might be completely legitimate, this payment, but as you say, it doesn't seem right, does it?
I don't know if we mentioned it, but the English FA have now pulled out of supporting Platini going for...
Well, I think they've suspended the support, haven't they? They've said we're going to wait until
because
the outcome.
Because they found out something. They found out. They know something.
Yeah, and they've said they found something out, and they can't say what it is.
Yeah. They've actually said that, haven't they? So
yeah, they can't reveal it for legal reasons, but they know that something's happened.
Maybe Operation Yew Tree has just gotten Platini, isn't it?
Dear, right. So, Super Six, I think.
Supers. How did we do last week, Mark?
I think we had a shock last week.
No, it went bad. It wasn't too bad. I got 2 points. Zach got 2. Rob got 3.
Did I?
Yeah. Three results. At the moment,
I was so close to getting 2 3-pointers, but Southampton, Leicester, and West Brom, Sunderland.
Letting you down. I mean, you are trailing, Zach. Yeah. At the moment, I'm on 18, Rob's on 18, and you're on 11. So you need to pull it out.
I need a couple of good ones.
I don't really know what we're going to do. We're going to work out some sort of, like, we don't know what we're doing yet. Are we going to go for someone's going to take us for a meal or something? Will the loser have to pay for dinner or something?
Okay.
Is that what we're doing?
And Nando's will do.
Nando's has got to happen, isn't it?
Loser has to watch a championship match.
Talk about championship. We have got a championship game.
I'll take you to a non-league game with me on a Saturday.
I can't talk. I'm going to see Cork City play Dundalk twice.
Yeah, well.
Well, apparently that's championship standard, according to
you. Yeah, that's all right.
Maybe I'm being a bit optimistic, but certainly League One.
Right, this week, starting off with Aston Villa, and they're hosting Swansea. Again, that's a tough game, I think, for Villa. Swansea are on a bad side. Although they're not flying this season. They're not doing bad, though, but they're not hitting the heights they were.
But they will win.
But I think you're right. I think they are going to win. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-0 Swansea.
I'm going to keep it simple, just 1-0.
1-0, yeah. To Swansea.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, can Villa score? Can they? I don't mean they can. I don't think they're ever going to score again. But I reckon they will do this week. I reckon it'll be 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0, yeah. 1-0. Leicester Palace.
This
Zach.
Is a really tricky one. This is so hard.
Well, these are teams. I mean, all right, I know Palace have just lost, but they're having a fantastic season. And you've got Leicester, who seem to be just. They are coming back from the death. Every game, they're getting results all over the place. Yesterday, they were 2-0 down. You know, and
like, you know, sometimes when you see a film and there's a character who's like getting beaten up, but he just won't back down. That's what Leicester are like, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't
didn't
give
talk
up.
About them actually, did we?
No, we should maybe
that
talk about
fantastic.
The game.
That was fantastic.
We spoke with Vardy.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, Vardy could have scored 4 goals in that match.
He looks brilliant at the moment. Yeah. He really does.
It's confidence, isn't it?
It's confidence.
That's one of the main things.
And it's a tough place to go and get a result, you know, St Mary's. Absolutely. You know, to go there and pull out a draw and be 2-0 down. Being in the Premier League, 2-0 down in the Premier League is a mountain to climb, isn't it?
But they've got to stop. They've got to stop doing that where they do find themselves 1 or 2 down. They've got to start
the league
start saying we've got to start better, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually, someone's going to hammer them, and that could shatter the confidence, and then they could lay down the table, you know.
Teams would be very wary now of that comeback. If they do get one or two up against them, they'll be right.
And Vardy again, scoring again. This guy, he does not stop scoring.
Nine goals.
Unbelievable season he's having. I mean, I'm really impressed with Leicester. So you'd say it's that fighting spirit.
Like I said last week with Vardy, if he does end up scoring like 25 league goals, I do have the fear that England will start with him at the Euros, which would be an absolutely ridiculous decision.
But maybe he might. He could come on. I mean, they could sell the Torres Scalacci in 1990. And you do get these players who just... come out of nowhere to become really good at international level. You know?
I just think international football is played through the gears, and Premier League is ferocious pace for 90 minutes. It suits him.
Be interesting. I think
Farrelly's pace will, and his attitude will. He'll do well against most teams. If he's playing for a bigger team, he'll have better players to help him play. You know.
Yeah.
So I think he could be good for England. You know?
Yeah, I just don't want to see.
I think his name, you associate Reg Vardy.
It's not that. It's just that I know Sturridge, Kane, Rooney, Welbeck are better players, and I don't want to see one of them left out.
No.
But they have to be doing it to justify their place, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Indeed,
part of the problem they've had in the years gone by is they have players who've relied on reputation.
Other countries,
like Italy and some other countries you mentioned, they'll go on, what's this guy doing in Serie A? And if he's doing well in Serie A, they'll put him in the team.
Yeah, but I've seen it before where England have been in a European Championship quarter-final, Rooney breaks his foot, and who comes on? Darius fucking Vassell.
Yeah, but...
you know what I mean?
You're talking about Darius Vassell.
The Defoe's left out because Vassell had a blinding season for Aston Villa.
Defoe
was always a better player. Mm. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think you've got to get the balance right. You've got to, you know, if a player's capable of something, he's got a good reputation, but he's not playing that well, you think, well, look, he's got to turn things around eventually. But when a player's flying, and if Vardy has scored 25 league goals... he'll justify his place in that squad.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Of course he will. He'll deserve to go. But
I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I'll be happy for him going. But as I say, he's got to keep it.
He's got to keep
his form.
I think he really does have to go.
Very impressive.
We better crack on with this, lads, because it's going to rain in a minute.
I know, we're going to get soaked. Leicester Palace then, Zach. What are you saying?
On the basis of Vardy's form, I think Leicester 2-1.
2-1, yeah. What about you, Rob?
They struggle away, don't they, Palace? Well, no, they're good away.
Yeah, they are good away, yeah.
Oh, that is a tough one, isn't it? I'm going to go for a Palace win, you know? 2-1.
2-1 Palace, that'd be interesting.
Well, the yo-yo kind of system in the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
I think it's going to be the same for Leicester this week. I think it'll be 2-0. I think that's what that'll be. Next game, Rob, you're starting this one. This is Norwich-West Brom.
Oh, blimey.
Another thriller.
We can't slag off these teams, guys. It's not fair.
I do it myself. I'm a Norwich player, actually. I haven't got much time for West Brom. But
Pulis and these are really difficult. Dickhead cat.
Pulis.
Oh.
I'm going to go for Norwich to win this 1-0.
Norwich 1-0. No. I'm going to go for a home win as well. I think it's going to be 2-0 to Norwich. What are you feeling?
I'm going to go for 2-1.
To Norwich?
Yeah. I just don't see anything I really like that much of West Brom.
No. He's got a. It's about playing him, isn't he?
Yeah. I think Wes Hooligan as well, being Irish as well. I think he's a really good player.
They're not the most exciting team to watch, are they, as well, West Brom this season? Not really setting much alight, are they, really, in terms of excitement? But
did we expect West Brom to set the Premier League alight?
Well, you know, you never know. Stoke-Watford next. Stoke are having a bit of a funny season, but...
yeah.
And I've been quite impressed with Watford. I think they've looked pretty good. I think they look like they're going to survive. I think they're definitely capable of surviving.
I dispute that. I think they're capable of something, but I don't think they will.
I think
they'll go down.
You think they'll go down? I've got a feeling they're going to sneak survival, but I'm going to say here they're going to lose, though. I think it'll be 1-0 to Stoke.
I'm going to go 2-0 Stoke.
Okay.
I think it's always interesting when these teams come up from the Championship, when they do have that first heaviest defeat, it's how they sort of react after that.
Yeah,
so they got beaten
absolutely.
3-0 at home this weekend. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think they might get another beating. I think they might lose 2-0.
You reckon, yeah? Okay, fair enough.
I don't think the mentality of losing to a team like Arsenal, who are capable of tearing anyone apart, will have that much of an impact.
Yeah,
but I think
it
could have some impact,
They got blitz in 15 minutes, that's really
awesome.
Zach, you've got a bit of a tough one here. West Ham, Chelsea. I think it's going to be a really good game, this.
I do. I think it should be a good game, but I think West Ham will have too much for them.
Really?
I do, yeah. I think Chelsea looked really, really unimpressive yesterday. West Ham are flying. I know it's at the Bullion Ground, but I still think West Ham are capable of it. I'm going to go 2-0 West Ham.
2-0 West Ham, okay. What do you reckon, Rob?
I think it's going to be an absolute cracker. I really do.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how West Ham go about it. If they play like the away side, or whether they're really going to go for them. I think they'll go for them.
I think we'll really go for it.
I think they need Winston to be fit. If they're going to keep a clean sheet, but I think there's going to be lots of goals. I think Chelsea are going to win 3-2.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's painful. I'm going to say, I think West Ham are going to win it. I think it's going to be a, I think it'll be a lot of goals.
I think
Rob's just talked himself out of ever being on the West Ham season ticket.
I know, yeah. It's 2 weeks on the spin, you said we're going to lose. What's going on?
Well, long mate.
It's working though.
Wrong.
Yeah, keep it up.
I'm wrong.
I'm going to say it's going to be 4-2 West Ham. I think it's going to be a lot of goals in this.
Cool.
Blimey, that would be fantastic.
That would be really good. I really reckon there's going to be a load of goals in that.
Can we change that last one? Can we put in the Manchester Derby?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Who cares about Wolves and Borough?
So the next game, can I just tell the listeners, the last game there is Wolves v Borough from the Championship.
We're not contractually obliged to follow Sky Super 6.
Yeah, that's a good one. Right, okay. Is it at Old Trafford?
Oh, I'm not even sure. I think it's at...
get that phone out again.
Get the old trusty phone out.
You know, if they two away games in a row, it's got to be Old Trafford, yeah.
So that would be very interesting at Old Trafford, I think, yeah. If it's at Etihad, it might
be... We can pause this or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's
just trying to think of something to talk about.
This is great radio.
Yeah, it's Old Trafford. Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, that's going to be a game. It really is going to be a good game.
Yeah, because United play two away games in the trot, so it wouldn't do three on the trot with it.
Right, United City then. This is it's a huge, huge, huge game. You're starting this one, Rob. I mean, it's a tough one to call.
At Old Trafford, very difficult to call, especially after watching them play that way. This is United, against Everton.
Yeah.
Man City, is Aguero going to be fit? Do we know?
No,
he won't be.
No, Silva? He's out for a month. No, I don't believe.
Even though I did all right without them yesterday, that's a big blow. I'm going to say that's a 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. Okay,
sitting on the fence.
That could be a good show, actually. But I'll never go for a draw on this. I think I'll never ever. No. I don't care if you're in the fucking League Two and City are winning the Champions League. You're going to beat City every time, in my opinion.
I think Man United are going to win this. Although City, you know, they annihilated Bournemouth yesterday.
It would be great for the league, wouldn't it?
Expected, wouldn't it? It was expected. I don't think Bournemouth.
Yeah.
It was obvious that was going to happen. But
they should have had a penalty in the first half as well. I mean, fucking.
And it could have been much more. I mean, they missed a few sitters as well. Sterling, even though he got a hat trick, could have had about five. I think Man United, though, are going to. That aside, I think Man United is going to be too strong for them at home. The home fans right behind them. You know, it's a big, big game for them. And I think if Man United beat City, they can really say that they are in the title race, I think.
I think so.
I think it's a big, big game for him. I think it's going to be tight, though. I think it's going to be 2-1.
I'd love to see that. I really would. It'd be great for the league.
I just commented on City should have had a penalty against them, but then again, they also should have had a sixth because I can't remember the Nigerian kid's name.
Iheanacho or something.
Yeah, Iheanacho, yeah. He was onside for that last goal. Yeah. A beautiful finish, and it must be disappointing that he was scrubbed off. Having said that, I think this game is all about, it's pretty obvious, the first 15 minutes, because like United showed against Arsenal, if they start badly, they find it very hard to get back into things.
Mm.
But I think if they hold them, and I think without Aguero, I'm going to go for 1-0 United.
1-0, yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant. I'm actually really rooting for United to win that. I think it'd be great for the league. I think it'd make the title race
I think it's a
exciting.
Good time to play City, despite the fact they've scored 5 and 6 in the last two games. But they did against Newcastle and Bournemouth. Yeah, not taking anything away from them, but...
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Missing David Silva is massive for them.
Missing Silva, missing Aguero, I mean, I think...
It's going to be a tough game. But I also think United will come out, you know, be straight at them. I think they're going to come out.
But you never know either. Like, they could tear them apart if they play right and they get in the mood. I mean, who knows? It's an interesting one.
Yeah. And that is, I believe, that is that next Sunday?
Next Sunday. I'll be at the Cork Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
So I'll have to find a pub somewhere that's showing it.
Yeah.
Let my mother go and watch some jazz and I'll just go into the pub and watch that. And
shout out the telly for a
couple
of hours. Yeah. All right then. Well, so that's the end of the show. We sold out Twitter, by the way. We've got it's the hashtag WWTS. If you could type that in, then it comes up all our content. But
what's that again? Sorry,
hashtag WWTS. If you type that in,
where was the show?
Yeah, that's our Twitter. But what we'll do is I'll update the poster for the show and start showing exactly how you can.
And then next week we'll get an Instagram, we get smiling pictures of all of us.
Yeah, well, we've got YouTube as well, that's starting up, but I'll put that up as well. So the show will go also on from audio and on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, one more thing we didn't talk about, so I'd quite like to say to Liverpool fans, that Raheem Sterling was a waste of money, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was Bournemouth, wasn't it? I mean, let's see him score a hat-trick against Real Madrid, yeah. And then, you know.
Then we'll judge him then. All right, well, thanks a lot, and thanks for listening. We'll be back in the week.
Bye, you too.